Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf.
Hello, everyone. What a crazy world we're living in this week and this month. It's truly, truly been, something that should be life-changing for all of us. We have to really start focusing now, not just on our pets, but on our families, because there's so much stress in this world now. And the problem is that you guys aren't all sitting in a box with little Ridgeback puppies and able to decompress and de-stress. You guys are in your daily lives. Some of us are celebrating the Jewish New Year. Some of us are following what's going on in the Middle East. Some of us are just stressed out because we don't know what's happening in this world. And that stress that you feel can also be picked up by your pets, not just dogs, but cats, pretty much any animal, even your kids, who are little animals sometimes too. So what I want to talk about today is how do we keep our lives and our pets from having the stress that we have, that obviously we understand, but the problem is we start getting behavioral issues ourselves. We start hearing, oh no, it's going to be those toilet paper shortages again, or, you know, whatever it is that all of a sudden this crazy world that we're living in is out of control. So for all of us, we have to start realizing that we have this stress, and the stresses that we have in our world and that are going on right now do impact our pets. And the problem for that is if we have our pets being stressed, we can have behavioral issues and behavioral changes from our pets, or should I say, with regard to your pets, because your pets are picking up on what you've got in your heart and soul right now. So the idea is for today, we're going to be focusing on ways that you can focus more on what's great in this world and what's great in your lives than focusing on what's not. At this point in time, and very much like what normally happens, where, you know, when we all had COVID or we all had these issues, a lot of what was happening was people were having animals, particularly dogs, with behavioral issues. Why did they have animals with behavioral issues? Because basically when those things are happening in your life, whether it's a personal stressor or whether it's, you know, just something that is like what we have now in current events with the Middle East and with, you know, interest rates and with, you know, having a half senile president and not knowing what's happening and these crazy elections coming up and all this stuff. When we have all these things happening, it causes stress. And that stress, the greatest way for you to tell how much stress you have is to watch your animals, because your animals are the ones who are going to tell you in no uncertain terms what is going on in the world and in your world. So what can we do when we get all stressed out? We don't know what to do. We have colossal issues going on around the globe right now. How do we fix that? Well, we can't fix it because we can't change what's going on. We can't change when crazy lunatic regimes are trying to destroy entire other countries. And this isn't even just in the Middle East. This is in, you know, we've got the same thing going on in Ukraine. We have so many personal friends that are in that area of the world. Ukrainians even. This has been going on for 3 years there, a year in Israel. We normally don't talk about politics. We normally talk about everything else. But literally every question I have gotten from my private patients, from the lectures I've been doing the last few weeks, from dealing with rescues, we are having an astronomical number of sudden behavioral issues, not just dogs that have had, you know, our standard, you know, pit bulls or whatever you want to say, or German shepherds or whatever. But we are having issues from the breeds, even like little Cavalier King Charleses. We're starting to have issues. That is because the world is crazy. And when you need help and you need to have, some sort of solace, you go to your pets. Well, your pets are starting to pick up on the fact that, you know, there's a lot of stress in this world. So now, here are some things that you can do. What are some of the main things you can do? First of all, the main thing that you can do that makes the most sense is to try to take some alone time. I'm not just talking about alone time with you and getting away from it, but alone time with your pets. Take, even if you're working from home, like so many of my patients, my private patients, the families are saying, you know, I'm home with the dog. I don't understand why is my dog starting to exhibit crazy behaviors all of a sudden. Well, that's because you are living in a world where the world is just uncertain and unknown. So all that stress you start feeling, all that uncomfortable feeling you have, all this feeling of just not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, what even an hour from now is going to bring, your pets are picking up on it. Now, if you don't do something now, when we are all through whatever crisis it is in this world that can be at this time, when what's going to happen is you're going to have issues like when I warned everybody 5 years ago or 4.5 years ago when COVID started, and I kept saying to people, you're going to have issues. Everyone's stressed. The world is a different place than it was right before COVID. Nobody cares about each other. People are knocking little old ladies down to try to get toilet paper. I mean, you know, this crazy world we're living in. So what we need to start doing as a civilization, as a group, and as pet owners, which, listen, those are the best of the best people. People who have pets and who care for them properly, let me qualify that for a moment. Those are the best people in the world because we care about others. We care about what happens to a pet. We care about what happens to a child. We care about what happens to another person, even if they're not in the same country, religion, you know, ethnicity, you know, political affiliation. And what you can start doing is taking time for you. This isn't selfish, but so many of my people are saying, hey, but I'm home. I work from home. Why is my pet so stressed? I'm not gone. Well, maybe your pet might be better if you weren't home because you're so stressed. Exactly. So if the pet is stressed, that's usually a sign that there's stress in the household. So what are some great things that you can do that will help for you to, you know, basically assist your pet in being able to cope better? Well, one of those things is you need the de-stressing too. Why not go for a 5-minute walk? You know, tell somebody, hey, you know, I see with my fiance, you know, I see all the time. I see, you know, people who are just so incredibly stressed. And there's nothing wrong with letting the phone ring. It's nothing wrong with you taking 5 minutes or 10 minutes out of your day as if you had to go to the bathroom and take care of you first. Because if you don't take care of your mental health first, not only are your pets going to suffer, but you're going to suffer. And we're seeing a record number of people having issues with animals and with family members. We know the divorce rate went crazy during COVID because we were all stuck, you know, basically spending time with people we love so much, and sometimes a little too much love is not a good thing. But I right now am in a box with puppies. You might hear a little bit of noise behind the microphone, but I'm sitting here with my little puppies, and they are de-stressing me as they're, you know, eating from their mama, just about ready to be weaned, and they are just my joy and my solace. So I have an escape, and I also am very blessed. I've worked really, really hard my whole life, and I'm blessed to have a beautiful home. And, you know, my beautiful home is my solace. But when things are going on and we're watching the news and we're seeing all this, you have to start realizing that if you don't do something about it, and if you don't do something about it pretty soon, we're not going to have the opportunity again to live right now, right? We have to, you know, once that moment is passed, that moment is passed. And right now I've got 7 little puppies all licking me, and I'm sitting in the box with them, and they're all here and loving me just because I exist. Well, that's kind of a really great way of de-stressing, but you can do it with your own family, with your own pets. take 5 minutes a day and tell your kids, think of the best joke. Everybody comes up with one joke every single day. And at dinner time, this time we're going to spend that time and we're going to tell each other a joke or a fun or funny story every single day. That's another little way of just moments that can de-stress you. Think about the last time you had a good belly laugh. Didn't your pets kind of run to you? Didn't they kind of want to be with you? Everybody likes the fun dad or the fun mom, right? So you've got to be that. Well, what can happen if you don't do that? We're going to have the same thing happen that we had happen, you know, 4.5 years ago when we were all stuck indoors and, you know, sheltered indoors because, you know, whatever, you know, Anthony Fauci's, you know, disastrous, you know, plan of attack against COVID. But if you can think about it, think about how stressed we all were at that time. Think about what we were all going through. And I was telling people at the time, find a way to decompress, find a way to enjoy yourself, find a way to remember what life is about. You know, I'm a 3-time cancer survivor, and I cannot tell you how many times I have said to people when they start telling me their story about, you know, and not to demean them or diminish what they're saying, but people say, well, you know, but, you know, I need to get a better job, and, you know, my kids are this and that. And I look at them and I say, is everyone healthy? And they go, well, yeah. I said, well, then you're very blessed. Because there are people right now in your same or worse situation who have children who are dying of cancer or whose family members are very ill or in some sort of, you know, horrible quandary or situation. So you yourself are in control or should be in control of how you want your family to be perceived and to perceive the outside world. Think about when you're a little kid and you're like, oh, all you want to do is get that ice cream cone. It doesn't matter what else is going on, who's invading whom, who lost a job. You just want that ice cream cone. That's what our dogs and our pets and our kids should be focused on when they're young. They shouldn't be focused on having to protect us, having to provide for our needs, having to make sure that we're healthy and happy and all that. It should be the opposite, quite the opposite. It should be where we are helping our families to be better, stronger, but softer and kinder and gentler. Also, because otherwise what we're doing is we're just creating a situation where our pets are going to wind up with really significant behavioral issues. And that's where I'm talking about right now. This week I have had, I think it is 5, it could be 6 calls from people who have never had an issue with their pet. I'm talking about the dogs never growl, the dogs never run away, the dogs never had separation anxiety. But all of a sudden, this week and last week, it has just been kind of crazy. It's really amazing how certain periods in our lifetimes just seem to be crazier. And your dog, particularly more than any other pet or more than any other creature on this earth, is able to tell what is inside of you. So you can fake it. You can think that you're, oh, yeah, no, nobody knows that I'm so upset. Nobody knows that, you know, this is all going on. But you know what? Your dogs do. And that's why so many people, especially the last couple of weeks, have been having animals that literally had nothing going on prior, and all of a sudden they're seeing significant issues. Their dogs attacking other dogs. I had someone who had their pet went from the most perfect pet in the world to biting a child, one of its own kids, in the face. We have heard everything. And all I can say is normally that is not what happens. Normally it starts with a growl, a grumble, a look, maybe a snapping, something like that. Not going right from 0 to 60, unless maybe a brain tumor or some kind of physiological issue or severe chemical issue. But what I'm seeing now is very, very different. It's very similar to what happened during the beginning of COVID, where people who've never had an issue with their pets are suddenly having it. So let's go back to that. What can you do? Take a walk. Literally, take a walk. Go out and take 10 minutes, get off the phone, put your cell phone in your pocket, do not answer it or put it on like a 10-minute do not disturb, and go for a walk with your pet, or lay on the floor and just play with your pet, or jump up into, you know, onto the bed and pick your pup up and enjoy, and or throw a ball for your pup, or do something like that that is going to decompress you, because that's really what it is. We got to decompress us. We are the problem. When our dogs, barring, you know, a dog that has such serious issues, behavioral issues, but barring that, listen, we all should be working super hard to give ourselves and our pets the best life possible. They should have the best food, the best love and care, the best, you know, of everything that we need. It should all be the best that we can be, because then we're the best we can be for our friends, for our relatives, for our kids, and of course, for our pets. And if we are the best we can be for our pets, and you can start seeing your pets relaxing again and enjoying you and you enjoying them again, you're going to suddenly see a lot of those behaviors are going to subside. Maybe they won't completely disappear, but they will dissipate enough where you're going to say, wow, this makes sense. This is really, I see it, Janice. I see it. I see my pets and I see my wife or my husband. I see my kids in a different light. It's altogether too easy and unfortunate that we can just focus on negatives. We humans, I don't know what's wrong with us as a civilization, as a group, but, you know, for sure, we have so many issues as humans. And the way to get rid of those issues is to become human again. I'm not saying you're not human. I'm just saying that the problem seems to be when we start focusing on extraneous external issues, like the economy. Yes, I know you're like, but if I can't afford my house, I'm going to stress. Right. But you can give yourself 5 or 10 minutes twice a day, maybe once before your kids come home or you get home, sit in the driveway or sit a block away in the car, take some deep breaths, listen to something, you know, silly or have a book or something, a joke book or some lighthearted story, and take 10 minutes for you. So when you get home, you're a better you for your kids, for your spouse, your partner, your pets. And then one time also during the day, when you start getting stressed, and it's, you know, listen, I don't get too stressed, because if I start feeling like, oh man, this world is crazy and scary, I just come in here and I sit in a box of puppies. I mean, there's nothing better. But these little puppies aren't going to be little forever. And eventually, I'm not going to have them here. And I'm going to have other things in my life, which I do, which are my other pets who give me joy. You know, sometimes just having a quick moment where we kind of realize what's important, that, hey, this is important. This really is important. We as a group, as the global community, need to de-stress. And the more things that are going on in this world and the more things that we see that are, you know, scary or crazy or disturbing, you know, the worse it gets for us, right? So we want to make sure, or we should be making sure, that in our lives, that everything that we're doing is going to be more thought out, is going to be more important than the other things that are going on. Because if we don't do that, we're not going to have anything left of ourselves. And we need to have ourselves, because right now I'm watching a group of little puppies one just rolled off my lap, and it's on its back, and it's just, his brother is just crawling all over him like, hey, hi, how you doing? But this is very cute. This is something, like I said, that is really important for everyone to do. You may not have a box of puppies like I do right now, but you have your kids. You have some people have little ones, like babies or little kids. There's nothing better for the soul than having a little kid laughing. You know, put video on next time your child or next time your family is laughing really hard. Just take your phone and say, you know what, for 30 seconds I'm going to record this. Record the laughter. Record the joy. Record your kids. Record your partner, your friends laughing. Because there's nothing in this world, nothing that beats having the laughter of a child. Or if you don't have kids, go on. You can either do it yourself with your puppy, if you have a dog or a pet. Get a video of your pet doing something cool or silly or whatever. That is de-stressing. And that's where we have to start realizing that it's not going to be every day perfect. It's not going to be every day easy. God never promised us an easy existence. He just said, here you go. Do with it what you will. And I think part of the problems that we're having with crazy things like school shootings and different little, you know, horrible but little things, you know, where we see something on the news that we don't even remember the next day. But in that moment, it touched us. In that moment, it scared us. And we started realizing, wow, the world isn't such a great place sometimes. Well, guess what? The world is a great place. If you are able and willing to look, there are things in this world that are so joyous. You don't have to look and you know, look at YouTube and watch some, you know, weird people doing weird things. Go find something cute. The cutest things are some of these little kid videos or some of these, you know, silly things on social media. Go and look at those things, you know, while before TikTok gets shut down. But, you know, we have to look at things that are going to give us joy. I just sent something to somebody I know, a new friend, who was having a really, really tough time with her special needs kids. And, you know, she had a lot of issues herself physically with her own health because, you know, moms, what do moms do, right? And some dads too, but moms are kind of well known for doing things like that. So I sent her a pound or two of chocolate-covered gummy bears. And she said that it wasn't even the gummy bears. She said they were great, and they actually melted because she didn't realize what they were. By the time she figured it out, they were in one giant mass, so it was this giant one-pound or two-pound gummy bear. And the issue or the funny thing about it was that she said, you know, I had the gummy bear, and for a minute I was a kid. That's what I'm talking about. Do that for people. You know, I think people wait and we wait to see what the Hallmark Channel or Hallmark cards or whatever, American Greetings, all these different companies, they make cards for us because we're too lazy as a civilization to make our own, which I love to do. But the idea also is take a minute, take a piece of paper, make a heart, I don't care if you're artistic or if you really want to do it, but just write something, you know, draw a silly picture, send it to your spouse, or make a little note for your kids, because how often do we, as parents, do we ever write our kids something, unless it's a birthday or something? Make a silly picture for your kid. Say, you know, hey, you were at school and I just missed you so much. I love you. I just want you to know that. Because you know what? When your child someday is grown up and is an adult, maybe has their own kids, you know what they're going to do? They're going to take out that piece of paper that you gave them 20 years before or 25 years before, and they're going to say, this is what grandma did or this is what grandpa did. And that is something that will be priceless for them. That little bit of love, especially if you have a child who's troubled and who all of the attention is negative attention, It's that same thing. You've got to make sure that you make every moment count. Make sure that your child, your spouse, they all understand how important they are to you and how important it is for them to be in your life. And don't wait for, you know, the world to tell you, hey, it's Valentine's Day. You've got to get a card and a highly overpriced dozen roses that you could probably send your child to one semester of college for. But instead of that, you're going to spend $200 on a dozen roses that are going to be dead in 2 days because they're not going to make it because they were old, because that's all you could get. You see what I'm doing? You see what I'm saying to you guys? Figure out priorities. Figure out what's really, really important. Don't focus on what's not important. Don't focus on things that aren't going to affect you, even if they are going to affect you. It's just important for you to make sure that you keep your eye on the prize, and that is your beautiful, healthy family. No matter what's going on in this world, if we don't have health, we have nothing. And if we have nothing, then there's really nothing for us to lose. And I do believe in my heart that most of what's going on in this world right now is because of that, because people don't feel they have something to lose. Try to remember what your family means to you. Try to remember that even though you maybe just lost your job, or maybe, you know, you're a longshoreman and you're on strike, you know, whatever it is, make sure you put the priority on what is truly important, which is your family and yourself and the way you teach your children, the way you interact with others. Be kind. Just be kind. I had a friend haven't seen in years, but he's a big Chinese guy. They own a Chinese restaurant in town I used to live in. And he would just say to people, just be nice. Like, I don't ask any, just be nice. Just be nice. And people would laugh at him. And I said, no, he's right. Because we are not nice to each other. You know, I don't care if you're Arab, if you're Israeli, if you're, you know, white, if you're black, if you're, you know, mixed, if you're whatever. Because it's the same thing as, don't we love, you know, pets no matter what they were? You should care about who somebody is, not what they are. You shouldn't get caught up in, well, I don't like that person because he lives in that country, or I don't like that person because, you know, she, you know, is whatever, you know, is a transgender, or is, you know, gay or bi or whatever, the LGBTQ stuff. You know, I feel like we have so been separated and segmented by our government, which I'm not happy about at all. But I feel like we are all so segmented right now. And it's because of the news, the media, the mainstream media particularly, that is basically making all of us into hateful people who only tolerate what we want to tolerate and not what we should. We have to look at everything in this world in a different way. We should be looking at the world as, you know, what can I do? What can I do? Come back to John F. Kennedy Jr., you know, or John F. Kennedy, the President Kennedy. You know, think about, what did he say? What did he say? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And I do believe that that is important. Ask not what your country, what you can get, but ask what you can give. Why would anybody not want to give if they had that opportunity? You look at people like Bill Gates and some of these others, and, you know, how many billions of dollars do you need? Not millions, billions. Do you really need 100 billion if you have 50 billion? Why are these people not, and there are some great people giving who are very charitable and very thoughtful of others. But, you know, basically, why are these people who have so much money, not helping others in a bad situation? If I had $50 billion, I wouldn't have $50 billion. I'd probably have, you know, a few thousand dollars in my checking account. and I wouldn't have anything else because what do I need? I wish I could pay off all the mortgages for all the hardworking people who can't seem to get a break, put people into homes, put pets into those happy homes, give these people an opportunity to help themselves so they can help their children. How do you reduce crime? How do you reduce unhappiness in this world? It's by making people self-reliant, and it's by helping people to help themselves, teach them what they need to do, because then they're going to teach their children. But what we do instead, it's like we all just, I don't know, we all just forget what we need to do in this world. If we forget that there but for the grace of God go I, right? You don't know what's happening with your neighbor. You don't know that person who cut you off on the highway. You don't know if that person just lost a child or has a pet that ran away or that had, you know, a parent who fell or that just is having a bad day, they got fired. There are so many different things that could have happened, but what do? We put everything into our own personal perspective and we harbor it and we hold it inside. And that's what brings us back to what I started with, where your pets have behavioral issues. This whole rant that I've been on for the last 10 minutes is to explain to you that it matters in your life how you come across, because your pets are not going to be BS'd into believing that you're fine and you're tough and you're strong. It's okay for a man to cry. It's okay for anybody to do anything that does not hurt somebody else or impact negatively somebody else. So in other words, no, you can't go rape or kill or harm or steal because that hurts somebody else. But anything else, if you want to cry, you want to go in your backyard and go throw baseballs at a tree, go throw baseballs at a tree. If it's going to make you a better person, it's going to de-stress you, then go do it. If it's going to help you to take melatonin or to do, you know, whatever it is that you do, as long as you're not getting behind the wheel of a car or harming somebody else, go do it. But don't harbor that, because that's hurting your pets and it's hurting your kids. It's hurting your family. And people don't think about that, but it is. It is hurting your family and it is changing the way you are perceived by other people, including your family. So let's talk about that for a minute. So go find a joke book. Go write a joke. Go write your kids or your wife or your husband or your partner. Write them something nice, especially if you had a bad day, right? Nothing better than feeling guilty that maybe you contributed to a fight, and then the person that you're starting to feel like, maybe I didn't listen well enough, all of a sudden that person says, honey, I know we had an issue today. I know we were, you know, arguing, but I love you. Maybe I don't agree with you, but I love you. You would be surprised how that will help. And if you are in a relationship that is not good, that is not healthy, know enough to get out of it. But the key for everybody is you have to make sure for your pets that you are the best you can be. And if you're not the best you can be, then you shouldn't be in a relationship, you shouldn't have a pet, you shouldn't be a friend to somebody, because unfortunately all of those things are things that can very, very easily, very simply change in a moment. And if you got a phone call that your child or your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, significant other, if you got a phone call that you just found out that that person, God forbid, had cancer, God forbid, had some type of, you know, big issue, or you found out that someone you're very dear and near and dear to, maybe somebody had a car accident, maybe they're in the emergency room, maybe we don't know if they're going to make it or not. Think about how blessed we all are. Think about what we would do to go back to the moment without that issue. Well, we're in that moment now. How blessed are we all? We are all so, so blessed. And that is why we should never, ever forget how blessed we are. We should use our pets and their behavior as a barometer of how we are, because they know better. Believe me, our pets know way better than we do what's going on in our lives and what's going on in our hearts. And if you're not going to be able to be the best you can be, then at least be a better you. Maybe you're not going to be perfect, but maybe you're going to be better than you were before. And that's all that I'm talking about today. So take a moment, a couple of times during the day, maybe once with your family, maybe once without your family. Even if you are working, let's say you're working from home. Again, take 5 minutes, throw your phone, like turn the phone off for 5 minutes, okay? Put an autoresponder on your phone that I'm sorry, I'm in a meeting and I will be back in about 15 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever you want. And people will understand, but you will be a better you and you'll have fewer issues with your pets and with your families when you're a better you. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break now that I've rambled on, and then we're going to come back in the second half of the show with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We'll be right back. Shelter Dog to Service Dog. And here we go. We are still sitting in a box of puppies because that is where I choose to be. That's why I'm so happy. How can you be unhappy when you're in a box full of puppies? There is literally nothing better in this world than watching these little knuckleheads try to nurse on body parts that were never intended by God to be nursed on. But it's funny because they nurse on each other, and boy, oh boy, they're just like, hey, there's nothing happening like when I'm with my mama. But it is so cute, and it's that watching them and that wonder that they experience. Well, that's something that I'm going to talk about today, is when you are working with your dog and trying to train your dog to be a service dog, I see more dogs fail because of owners failing. So let's say we're trying to train the dog. And I don't train dogs to be service dogs. I teach them. I firmly believe that when you train a task or you train something like a body position, the dog is only going to do that body position when it needs to do the body position. There's a cookie involved, or there's, you know, some other something in there. What we need to do is remember that when you're training your dog to be a service dog, even if you're using obedience or clickers or whatever, please, God, don't use shock collars, pawn collars, choker chains, any kind of, you know, horrible, punitive type of training, if you call it that. Use what God gave you. Use your brain. Use your excitement. Use your ability to understand how that animal is reacting to you, because that is truly what is most important, is having that animal understand what you are doing and why you are doing it, more importantly. If you just have, let's say, a pet who is, you know, going to be your buddy, that's great. You can do whatever you want. I don't care what you do, because the dog doesn't have to be in public. But once your dog or your miniature horse is going to be in public, it has a whole different meaning. Because what's happening is when you have a service dog, although there is no organization that certifies, you know, some of you might have seen these bogus, you know, ID cards you can buy. Can you imagine if you put in a form online and you said, hey, I can drive a car really well, and I've had, you know, 50 hours of training with my uncle, you know, Bozo, and they send you an ID in the mail and says, okay, we trust you. We trust you. We believe that you, you know how to drive. That's what these companies are doing. Are you kidding? These people, it's some loser in a garage who now maybe has a multi-million-dollar building because you were stupid enough to give them $20 or $40 or $100 or whatever it is to buy a vest that you can buy from online from China for $4, if they even give you one, and an ID card that probably cost them 3 cents, including the lamination. And you go and you go get one of these IDs and you go, I have a service dog. Well, guess what? You're the problem. If you have an ID for your dog, you are the problem. Because every time you show that fake ID and you're like, oh, right now, so indignant. But Janice, you don't understand. I've trained my dog. He's great. He lays right next to me and I pet him and I feel great. And when we go out, sometimes he's really good and he doesn't try to attack people or shy from people or try to attack dogs. So he is a service dog. Guess what? No, he's not. He could be your in-home helper dog. When you start taking your pet, your child, your gun, your car out on the road, so to speak, you become my problem. You're no longer your own problem. You become my problem. Because when you bring your ill-behaved pet or your ill-trained whatever it is out wherever you're bringing it and you show a bogus ID, you make it difficult for the people who really need dogs. The over 1,000 people that our nonprofit and I have trained over the course of the last 40-something years, every one of those people does not have an ID because it is not required by the Department of Justice. And I pray to God that one of the things that comes out of whatever administration we can get it out of is going to make an actual ID that is going to be usable and legitimate, and that ID can be shown, and it will come from the DOJ or it will come from your municipality. There will be some sort of official identification, because once there is the official identification that you have to get from a government agency, now the ID you've got there that you think you're so smart, and it's really not for our people. We know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you guys. You guys are here for the right reason. But you've seen this with people. They have, even if you have you are not a good trainer and your dog barely does anything, you're at least trying because you're here. So I respect you, but I don't respect people who are going out to where four placements in a 6-week period, which is a lot when you're trying to get them done with only 3 people doing your placements in that location. And we went into a restaurant that this lady had been at probably, I think she said, more than 40 years. It was before the owners of the restaurant even owned it. It was the prior owners. So this is how long this woman's been there. And one of the owners and I really sat down and we had a long talk about this. And he said, but they show me the ID. He goes, but I know the ID isn't real because it doesn't mean anything. So what can we do? Because he said, we want to be ADA compliant. We want to follow the laws. But people come in, and one lady came in, and her dog was running all over the restaurant, wasn't on a leash or dragging the leash the whole time. And she said to him, well, this is my service dog, and you have to let me in. And he asked the 2 questions, which are, is this a service dog? She said yes. And he said, what jobs, he didn't use the proper colloquialism, but it was, what jobs does the dog do for you? Which is close to, what tasks is a dog trained to perform? She said, I don't have to tell you. And he said, ma'am, I'm not asking you for your medical diagnosis. I'm asking you what we're allowed to ask according to the Americans with Disabilities Act. She refused. Well, because he had the audacity to ask this woman what, you know, tasks the dog was trained to perform, she wrote up a terrible review on Yelp and Google and said that he was rude and abusive. Well, he wasn't. I spoke with this man for an hour and a half. He was so kind, so nice, completely 100% on point with the ADA and what he is and isn't allowed to ask. And he said, I'm not asking your medical. I'm just asking you the questions that the law has permitted us to ask. And the problem is, she didn't even want to answer that. So how do you contend with, as a business, these people who think that it's just fine to just bring their dog, their ill-behaved dog, let it run around, or worse yet, some of these people, and I've seen this, some of these people have actually done things like, crazy things that have done, things that are, like, for instance, they feed the dog, they put the dog actually on the table, the little dog. They put the dog on the table where you're eating, right? That is a health code, major health code violation. So you have to understand, it's not that the restaurant doesn't want your dog in there. It's that the restaurant is not allowed to have any pet or any animal in their facility that creates and makes and serves food. Even the puppies are saying, yes, this is right. This is the law here. So for this man, what does he do as the owner of a business? What does he do when he has to follow health code violations? What do you do when you find some dog that, the dog hair from, some hairy German Shepherd Husky mix that hasn't had a bath in its whole lifetime and it's 7 years old, because you've got to bring that dog in and that hair gets up into the food, and now the health inspector comes through and sees dog hair, he's going to get shut down, that poor restaurateur. So it does matter. It really does matter. There's a difference between people like where I had at a diner in Whippany, New Jersey, years ago, where this guy got in my face, was spitting as he was railing against, get your dog out. And this was Wyatt. Wyatt was number one service dog in the world. And, he won the AKC Ace Award. Everybody knows Wyatt. He was like Rin Tin Tin or Lassie. He was so famous. And I walked in with him, which he was my service dog, and this man was horrible. I posted it on my private, and then we posted it on our organization's social media. We had over 105,000 comments, and we found out that this man was not only a horrible bastard with me, but he was also horrible with anybody else who came in, anybody who was working for him. We had 7 different people who either worked for or had worked for this man in the years prior or were current employees, and who all said he's a horrible, horrible person. This is the man who should be punished. This is the man who should have his facility shut down, but not because he allows a legitimate service dog in, but because he's just an asshole. Okay, and there's a limit to my ability to deal with assholes, and that was it. I was very nice. I didn't do anything. He said, oh, well, I'm going to call the police. And I said, please do, because I know what my rights are under ADA, and my disabilities warrant having this service dog here. I've never had such a bad experience as I did with that garbage, that excuse for a human being. But the gentlemen at this other diner were lovely and wanted to be compliant. But you know what the problem is? People don't care. You don't care. Your neighbor doesn't care if you go in and are literally not allowed to patronize an establishment, not because your dog isn't a service dog, but because you don't have a fake ID card that they bought. So now we have different laws, different rules, different regulations. But you, if you are listening to us right now and you're interested in training your dog to be a service dog, certainly you can also reach out to us, you know, online. You can reach out to us via email. There's a lot of different ways that you can kind of find us. We are happy to help. We're happy to have new guests on the show. But for me, the most important part of this is for everybody to understand that what you do matters to me. As we started talking about, you get in your car drunk, you might kill me or hurt me or somebody I love or hit an animal or do damage to some property or to a person or to someone. And that's why when you do something that impacts me, I can talk about it. I can work with that. And I can, and I have the right to shut you down. And that's where the problem is. So that's why when you get behind the wheel drunk, you might kill my child or my friend or something or harm my property or kill my animal because you roll up drunk on my front lawn where my child and my pet are playing in the front lawn and you hit my kid and my pet. I had somebody, one of our people who had one of our Ridgebacks many years ago, the dog was killed in the front yard, in their driveway where they were going for Easter, because some drunk in a hurry rolled up and tried to make a U-turn or a three-point turn in the driveway. And thank God didn't hit the four little kids under 8 years old, but unfortunately hit the dog and killed the dog in front of these four little kids. Can you imagine on Easter, you go to celebrate, you know, your highest holy day if you're Christian. And what happens? Your four young kids under 8 years of age witness their dog at a year of age get killed in front of their eyes. That shouldn't happen. And that's where I start drawing a line when you start saying, well, it doesn't matter if I go in with a fake ID. It doesn't matter if, see, even the puppies are disagreeing with you guys. So the people who are listening now, you're not the problem. You're the answer. But the people who you see, when you see somebody in public in a supermarket and their dog is obviously not a service dog, you know what? Maybe the management doesn't have the balls to complain and tell them something, but you can. You can say, oh, wow, that's great. You have your dog here. What tasks does your dog do to help you? You know what they're going to say? Mind your own business. Guess what? Those are the people who need to be shut down. And if I have my way, those people will be criminally liable with either community service hours, fines, or even jail time. Yes, I believe that if you make an example of some of these people and they know that they're going to have a criminal record, even if it's a misdemeanor, even if there is no jail time, let them pay, you know, a $10,000 fine. Because if they use somebody else's credit card without their knowledge or without their permission, if they drove somebody's car and got in trouble, if they, you know, use somebody else's name to commit a crime or to get to purchase alcohol or something illegally, that is a federal offense. That's a federal crime or a state or local crime, depending on what they are. And those should be prosecuted. Now, you say to me, oh, there's so many things. Look at what's going on. It's crazy. Like, you have one person who writes, you know, checks out or does something, and, you know, now our vice president's husband is accused of worse things than Trump, right? You have, you know, people in the Congress who don't have to follow their own laws that they are sponsoring and helping to enact. So, you know, in Congress, do you know, well, let's talk about it. Where are service dogs permitted to go? Okay, they're permitted to go anywhere except where? They're permitted to go anywhere except churches or houses of worship unless they choose, the people in charge choose to allow them in. Okay, I can get that. That's a private club, private situation. Fine. They are not permitted to go into burn units. Okay, understanding, because obviously burn units are sterile and it could harm or cause infection, right? So that I understand. They're not permitted in operating rooms, which, again, sterility, I get that. Yes, that makes sense. But you know where else they're not, who doesn't have to follow the ADA? Government buildings. Government officials, government buildings do not have to follow the ADA. So if you go into the White House or you go into a government building, federal, state, local, whatever, they don't have to let you in with your service dog. They don't have to let you in into Congress. So they can do whatever they want. But your rights mean nothing because they're not you and you're not them. So this is where I'm saying go back to, now everybody needs that 5 minutes I spoke about at the beginning of the show. Take your 5 minutes, decompress, get yourself together. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have some great guests coming up in the next few weeks, next few months, that are going to elucidate these situations for you. We're going to talk more about how to train your dog to be a service dog. But today was all about be a better you and help other people to be better at what they do or don't do. Help them to understand that it matters every time they show a fake ID. Help them to understand how blessed they are that they don't need a service dog. Help them to understand to be a global community member instead of being a selfish son of a bee, okay? I am going to let everyone go because my time is unfortunately up for today, but I hope everybody has learned, and I appreciate you're allowing me to rant and ramble to make this world a slightly better place than it was an hour ago. Lots of love to everyone, to all of our Jewish friends. Happy New Year, Chag Sameach, Lashana Tova, and to everybody who is out there in pain or who needs a friend. You can always reach out to us. We are always happy to help. Reach out through the station, and we are here for you. We'll see you next week. Hope everybody has a wonderful, happy, healthy, blessed week. Remember to laugh, to love, and to help us all to be better humans. Take care.